Welcome to Yo 11 Minutes. Yo 11 Minutes, mostly Vegas, no BS, casino experience, and more. Michael Traeger is a casino and travel loyalty expert who also helps people turn their travel dreams into reality. And now, Michael Traeger, how's it going, Michael?
It's going great. I'm back from a great weekend in Atlantic City, and I have a lot of things to share about all different kinds of things, some relating to Atlantic City and some not. And we're going to be covering that in the next couple of episodes. So it's going to be mostly Vegas, plus a little bit more than Atlantic City than usual. That's how we're going to roll. And anyone who doesn't like it, I don't know. I don't know. What do we say to people who don't like it? I don't know. How can you not like Atlantic City?
I don't know. It's a wonderful little ghetto by the sea. But, you know, this will be mostly Vegas, but with an extra helping, a hearty helping of Atlantic City today, I think.
That's right. A very hearty helping of Atlantic City. Hearty. Yes. Hearty. And also today is, I think, our 40th episode, which is pretty fucking cool.
Wow. Yeah. All right. 40. Nice.
40th episode of Yo 11, though fours are bad luck, but we're going to say this 40th thing is going to be good luck. You know, four is bad.
Yeah. I mean, most podcasts, a lot of podcasts don't even make it this far, and some of them die in the 40s, but we'll see. I think we've got a good thing going.
If we did our podcast numbers, our episode numbers, like Wynn does their elevators, then we would have just skipped 40 and we would say, hey, we're on the 50th episode today. And everyone would be so confused. But I guess we're not going to do our podcast episodes like Wynn does their elevators.
And we would have had to skip like the fourth episode and the 13th episode as well, right?
Yeah, that'd be an interesting number thing. Okay. We'll have to consider. We're okay. We're cool. We're our numbering sequence is actually a numbering sequence in order.
Yeah. That's the way we try to do things here. Well, I suppose we just rail right into the news because we've got a doozy today. I don't know. Let's go express. Okay. Anyways, and now it's time for the news and views. That thing that has been talked about and planned about since 2005 has been getting more funding. Brightline West, previously Desert Express, previously Express West, previously Desert Wind, is the envisioned high-speed rail line from Los Angeles to Las Vegas with speeds of 200 miles per hour, making a trip to Vegas from LA and vice versa a two-hour journey. Today, the Department of Transportation awarded the project with $2.5 billion in private activity bond authority to lay tracks and create jobs. The funding is the latest for Brightline West. The Department of Transportation previously approved a private activity bond allocation of $1 billion in 2020. In December, the Department of Transportation also awarded a $3 billion bipartisan infrastructure law grant to the Nevada Department of Transportation for this project. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, it will be a fully electric, zero-emission system and will become one of the greenest forms of transportation in the United States. The Department of Transportation also says the project will create as many as 35,000 jobs. So far, Brightline West has acquired $6.5 billion, which includes today's $2.5 billion. The total cost of the project will cost $12 billion. So, 21 years later, and they have half the money. That's going to do it for the news. And now for the views. Michael, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that this is amazing. I think rail access to Las Vegas is a phenomenal idea when you consider how many people visit from Southern California. I think it's only a good thing. I think more and more people keep visiting. It's a great market. You got to get people off the roads for convenience, I don't know. I think it just makes us seem like the United States is like making moves by actually doing something with rail. And rail is so much more convenient than flying in most cases. So that's also another real advantage. The only thing I wanted to make a point of, which a few people have, which I think is a really minor point, is that it's going to be the Las Vegas Valley and Rancho Cucamonga, I think that's how you pronounce it, in the greater Los Angeles area to start. I think it eventually will extend truly to Los Angeles. And that's a common thing, just to say things like it's going to Los Angeles or Los Angeles area. They've done that with a lot of trains, do that anyway. And a lot of people, like the auto train, they say goes from DC to Orlando, where it's really from Virginia to Sanford, Florida. And I think it is still pretty genuine to refer to it as Los Angeles or the greater Los Angeles area.
Yeah, I was looking at their future plans. Their future plans are to take it to Union Station in Los Angeles. Nice station, you know, very historic over there. So they might make it there after all. That's definitely the future plans, but definitely not phase one. So I understand there's a lot of things you want to talk about, and about your Atlantic City trip, VIPing the amenity magic. Worth it? Let's find out. It is time for the tease.
Hey, so as I mentioned last week, I had a great, I was planning for a great trip to Atlantic City that turned out to be an even greater trip to Atlantic City for my wonderful friend's special birthday. And one of the things that we've been talking about recently is this whole VIP experience and VIP check-in and VIP entrances. And I had the happiness to be able to stay at Hard Rock Atlantic City this weekend. And I got to see a little bit about how they handle and do their VIP services and VIP check-in, which is really, really nice. Had some absolutely amazing friends who hooked me up with this stay and this connection, one of which is David Wong, who has a wonderful slot channel. We will put the link in the show notes to his slot channel. So anyway, I was talking about a VIP arrival, and you saw the VIP arrival area. And then when I got to the suite, there were some great amenities. And I was thinking a little bit about how this makes the experience great. They had a wonderful bottle of Duckhorn wine, some fruit, amazing potato chips that are made fresh in-house, and these really cute Hard Rock cupcakes, which were so, so yummy. So how does it work at Hard Rock? Well, what's interesting, and Hard Rock used to be the Taj, when you pull up to the porte cochere, there's actually a section that says the VIP hotel entrance, and you go through that section, and that brings you right away to VIP check-in. One of the nice things is that their VIP check-in, and you can see how nice this area is open until midnight on weekends, which makes it super duper convenient. And the check-in was completely seamless. They even gave me my new Unity players card and my icon status. I'd never stayed there before, so they actually had a note there to tell me, you know, to give me my players cards when I checked in, which I thought was a nice touch. And the amenities were all set up in the suite, which was extremely nicely done. And oh my God, were those potato chips that are made in-house and dip absolutely decadent. So one of the things I was also thinking about, because the service was so phenomenal whenever we needed anything in the suite, is whether we might have been coded as VIP, because we needed, at one point, my significant other requested she wanted a blanket. And at another point, we were getting ready to go out, and we were running a little bit late, and she needed a hairdryer for her hair. And both times, we called down to make a request. Literally, like magic, it appeared. The blanket was in under 5 minutes, and the blow dryer was in under 5 minutes. So I've got to give real kudos to being able to call on the phone, get the operator or housekeeping services, make a request, and have that request actually be delivered to your room pretty much so instantly. And this is not exactly a super small hotel. Also giving them credit that their staffing is great, that their staffing levels are great, that you pick up the phone, you have a question. I actually had a question about my room folio because for some reason resort fees were showing up and I have a status level that waives the resort fees. And I was able to call down to the front desk, get them to correct that, then look at my television and see that the resort fees were gone. So the question is this worth it? Does this make you feel special? I think that's easy. Of course it does. And what do you think about properties that sell a service like this in addition to offering it to casino VIPs? Would you pay for this seamless check-in experience, maybe some additional amenities, maybe being coded for VIP service? Is this something that would be a worthwhile addition to your stay? Would it make your stay better? Would you be willing to pay for it even if you didn't gamble at a level or have friends who are super gracious hook you up with it? Would this be something that would be worth buying for your vacation or short trip? And that's what I'm going to ask you. And in a few moments, we're going to get to a bunch more of the comments, which we absolutely love. So, Movestro, what do you think? Is this worth it? Is this fluff? Is this something that can really start off your trip or vacation on a positive note?
Oh, yeah. Why not? Absolutely. I mean, just to be able to go to a place that's usually busy, have just a separate VIP entrance and all that, and not have to deal with everything, all the sights and sounds, and just be able to get there and then get to your room and like home. So they made the potato chips on premises and they put them in your room. Wow. And cupcakes, man.
And cupcakes and dip. And those potato chips were decadent. And anyone you speak to who gets amenities there, they're like, what do you think of the potato chips? Because honestly, that's my, more so than like cupcakes and sweets, my absolute vice are things like French fries and potato chips. And, they were just like perfectly crispy with just a little bit of that grease content and the right amount of salt. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really real. Also, I got to give them credit. They use this Icelandic water, which is fine. I'm not that into brands of water, but they had so much water in the suite. Like you had oceans of water.
Wow.
Like that? Maybe it has to do with the ocean. But yeah, no, I think, I think it's a really great selling point as an add-on for a lot of hotel stays, especially for suite stays. Because if people don't get away that many times, getting to a hotel and potentially having to wait in line or have some issue with waiting in line or, waiting to finally get up to the desk, but having it where your reservation has been sort of nurtured before you get there is a really good thing. And that's actually some of the stuff we do in luxury travel advisory, is just making sure that things are right for your reservation when you arrive, because there's nothing worse than traveling a few hours to get somewhere and then you finally get there and your reservation is fucked up or there's a long line and that kind of stuff. So I think it's definitely something that's extremely compelling in our rather crazy world.
Indeed. And you didn't have to pay for the water. Like you could just take the water. It was like a mini bar thing or?
Yeah, no mini bar. Actually, no mini bar, just a really good fridge.
Wow.
Which actually is another great conversation. Resorts World does the mini bar fridge. Mm-hmm. So Resorts World has a standard mini bar, and then they have a second, like, little section that's just a regular fridge, which is think. I am a person who believes, and I believe a lot of people believe this, I'm fine with mini bars. I think they're fine. They're great. But you have to give people also an additional fridge for their personal stuff.
Yeah.
Just giving people a mini bar is sort of obnoxious, because if you want to bring something back from dinner or something, you want to have extra food or you want to chill something that you picked up at CVS or something, the fact that you can't touch anything in the mini bar and you don't have somewhere to chill it is, I think, really obnoxious. I mean, I just think that you should always have a mini bar and also a personal fridge. And if you're not going to have if you're not going to have a mini bar, that's fine. Just have a personal fridge. The coffee maker thing, I don't think is a big deal to me because I'm really picky about my coffee. So I really wouldn't want to use the coffee makers in the room or anything. And I actually think at this point, people who are real purists on that pack their own coffee maker, you know, just because of it's more sanitary and it's, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. So coffee makers, that's never really rocked my world. But the refrigerator thing, I think, is rather obnoxious for you not to have a place to put your stuff.
I always liked the coffee maker in the room thing is, you know, just wake up, ease into the day, have a cup of coffee, you know, plan it out, get going. I've always liked that. But at the same time, I also like having breakfast with a slot machine. You know, so my morning coffee and a slot machine anytime I was visiting out here. So, yeah, pros and cons either way.
I don't know. I just don't like those, like the drip coffee makers. They just scare me. I mean, I think there was something once, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but it was something like flight attendants or like other people who traveled a lot used to clean their pantyhose in a coffee maker. I see your look.
Oh my God. That's
you see, once you get that image,
wait, well,
that's it.
Were they at it's least, over. Were they at least hot flight attendants?
I don't know. But you know, setting all things aside, like how often is that coffee maker cleaned? All that kind of. I don't. Also, you know, the other thing is too. Like some people drink tea, and once you've run coffee through something, you can't really if you. You, whenever you just do water, you know, for tea, it always tastes like coffee. I don't know. I'm something I think. I think the Keurig stuff is better. That's definitely much. I think the Keurig kind of stuff or the automated kind of makers with pods, that stuff's fine. That's cool. But the old drip one, I'm just not so sure. I'm just not so sure. The other thing is too, I have a strong bias because I can't believe we're going off on a tangent of coffee.
Who knew?
I like iced coffee. I like iced Americano. So mm-hmm. I want a couple of shots of espresso over ice with some water in it. I'm really into like strong like espresso. So I don't really drink. So not only the fact that I don't really drink drip coffee, but the other that's snobby. I don't drink drip coffee. But the other thing is I like iced coffee and that's like a real pain in the ass because you'd have to go get the ice and then what cup are you going to put it in? If you don't have a cup that's big enough to make iced coffee, it's sort of a pain. So maybe that's one of the reasons why. Anyway, that's all I got for you today on coffee.
Well, for those of you who make iced coffee at home, I would suggest filling up an ice cube tray with coffee so that as the ice melts, it's not watering down your coffee. It's more coffeeing your coffee.
Wait, do you... You know who does that in Las Vegas?
No, but it's an idea I came up with in New York and passed it on to one deli owner. And since then it caught on like wildfire. And I'm talking back in the day, like mid 90s. I had this idea. Who does this in out here?
I have pictures.
Okay.
Four Seasons Las Vegas. If you ordered iced coffee in your room, gives you iced coffee ice cubes.
I should have trademarked that shit, man. Damn it.
Now we have to throw up that picture for the next episode. Well, it's brilliant because obviously if you have iced coffee and iced coffee ice cubes, as the ice cubes the ice cubes melt, they do not dilute.
Exactly.
The coffee.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, but it's Four Seasons Las Vegas does it. Yeah. Incredible props to them because that's an amazing attention to detail.
Well, you're welcome. As it was my idea that I shared with a deli owner in the mid 90s, high school me said, hey, you know what we should do for the iced coffee? What if you froze, like you had ice cubes of coffee and then put that in? So that way it doesn't dilute. And like, I'm going to try it. And they tried it and it became a hit. So I'm not surprised that Four Seasons, all these
copyright,
years.
Copyright Movestro.
Hey, yeah, too bad.
1992.
Something like that. All right. before we get going, is there any closing?
I wanted to run through some of the comments because I've been a little bit late on that. Somebody mentioned that they loved your cheeky joke from the last episode and they can't wait to hear about the magic of AC. Oh, you're going to hear about it until you're sick of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, someone else said, which is very interesting, they never get tired of the tease music. Who picked it, Movestro or me? That's 100% Tease music was picked by Mo Vestro. Also, Joseph reminded us that Bruce Springsteen does have a song, Atlantic City, and it's pretty good. And he says he also likes playing his song, I'm Going Down, when I visit AC, gets the vibe going. So remember, I think I didn't realize that. Somebody else also, when I mentioned I was getting my hair cut, they're all cut, at the barbershop at Borgata, they asked if Damien was cutting my hair. Damien wasn't. It was Steven, but Damien is awesome. And I actually saw Damien when I was in the barbershop. Love hearing about that. And somebody, another interesting idea, what about a casino with a $100 resort fee, but with an open bar for guests during their stay? And that's really interesting, Stephen. That's a super interesting idea. Yes. You know, they're charging you money, but or maybe you can get a certain number of drinks, or maybe they just stock your mini bar once, like a one mini bar stock where you get a couple beers and a couple of something else. I love that. Joseph was also mentioning that the check-in experience to him is huge, which is, you know, hugely important. And the last thing you want is standing online exhausted behind lots of people moving slowly. VIP check-in has always been worth it. So he was sort of commenting on that from last week, and we sort of dealt with that a little bit today. So that is cool. Thank you, everyone. A few people also commented on my idea of logging the longest session of Baccarat. And Joseph actually said he's done 18 plus hours at the same table for Pie Gal, Craps, thankfully a chair, Baccarat, and Blackjack.
Wow.
So, and then the final comment is, I would pay money to see Michael attempt to set a world record for the longest Baccarat playing, like a Hunger Games-esque thing when you could pay to provide snacks and drinks to the player if the viewers pay for it. Oh my goodness, that is pretty funny. So that's all I got for you today. But thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for everybody who said hello in Atlantic City. Absolutely love that. If you did say hi, please, you know, remind me again and, you know, put a message in the comments. We love to hear from you. A few people came up to me and told me they love this podcast, which makes us feel really great because we really enjoy doing it.
All righty, and that's going to do it for this episode. Luxury travel booking, Travel Zork Travel. Visit us at TravelZorkTravel.com to plan your next amazing vacation, and please join the conversation on social media. You can find us easily. All social platforms are at Travel Zork. We'll see you next time.